Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. I'm in for Gil Alexander for the week. And let me tell you, Kelly Bidlin, it was looking like we were heading towards the first game six ever in World Series history in which a team had started 3-0. And I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans out there also thought that that's where we were going. We, of course, will break that down over the course of today. Great guests on the show. Zach Cohen going to join us, talk all things sports. And Mike Somich, as requested by you, the listener and viewer.
That's right.
Is coming on to talk the ponies and which one is going to run the fastest.
That is correct. Hopefully.
Hopefully run the fastest.
Hopefully. And not just top three or anything like that. Which one will run the fastest?
And multiple races I have heard that he is handicapping here. So it's not just like, you know, like only, people only care about the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, we always make that mistake.
Just the one. There's like a lot of races in which he's got opinions on.
Yeah, Somich and the Felicas of the world, they're betting every single race of race day. All we care about is the last one or race, you know, 14.
I want the biggest one and the one that I can like brag about to people if I finally ever hit anything and win anything. Because what you don't want to do is be like, yeah, man, on race 8, I won the winner. Like, oh, was that the Kentucky Derby? No. No, it's just race 8. I don't even know what they call it. Like, I don't have any.
Race 8,
yeah,
bro.
It's just race 8. I don't have any idea what they call that race. But I won. They're like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care at all. They care more about the money they lost in the Kentucky Derby than the money I would win in race 8.
Right,
or 7,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Yeah, they don't care at all about any of that stuff. Okay, so what did we see last night? Did we see the worst inning in the history, not of even the World Series, but maybe in baseball in general? I think it is something a lot of people are going to talk about because you have a Yankees team in control, everything going their way, they're at home, the crowd is into it, everybody thinks this is a win. We are heading into game number six. They are up 5-0 in the fifth inning. And Kelly, the wheels absolutely fall off. We get an error by Aaron Judge. We get a non. So this is, people are going to say like, hey man, you know, how come Anthony Rizzo didn't get over there? No, this is PFP, pitcher fielding practice. You do this whenever you are a baseball player, every single time. If you're a pitcher, you practice, they do this over and over and over. And you hate it because you're like, dude, I get it. I know. I cover first base every time the ball goes. I understand.
It's also the very first thing that's practiced of any spring training. It's pitchers and catchers report.
They don't
and
want
that's
you throwing.
They, do. They don't want you throwing.
You're not even throwing. You're just doing PFPs. Like, that's all you're doing. It's just pitcher fielding practice. That's all there is to it. And for whatever reason, it just escaped Gerrit Cole for that second. Goes on and on. Next thing you know, we look up, Kelly. It is tied 5-5. In the fifth inning. At that point, I knew, even after the Yankees scored in the sixth inning, which they did to go up one run, at the 5-5 mark, I was like, this game is over. The Dodgers are winning the World Series tonight. You just knew, right? Did you not have, you knew in your heart of hearts that
it
was over.
It's really tough. I don't care. It almost doesn't matter what sport it is. It doesn't matter if it's a couple drives, like back-to-back in football, a quarter in basketball, right? You have an inning like that. It just feels like there's no chance that you're going to recover from something like that. And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, and they bounce back. They do get a run there in the sixth inning, but then the Dodgers two in the eighth, and then Blake Treinen, and then Walker Buehler comes in to close it out. I thought it could have been the greatest thing in the history of sports had Shohei just walked out there with one shoulder.
Like, didn't I would not have liked that.
Didn't throw a single warm-up pitch and then just closes the game. They're like, hey.
Pitched,
yeah, they're just like, hey, Shohei, you think you can maybe close this thing out? And he's like, yeah, sure. Whatever, that's fine.
No
whatever.
Problem.
Yeah, he just goes out there and hadn't thrown a pitch in a game in a year. It's like, just gets it done. But Walker Buehler shuts things down. Two strikeouts there in the ninth inning, and the Dodgers are, in fact, your World Series champions. We coasted to our bets last night here because...
I mean, mine's never a coast when I'm fading Shohei Ohtani just to get a hit. So, yeah, that was start to finish. Yours... on the other hand, was, yes,
a coast
rocking
job.
Chair
yes,
winner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flaherty only made it 1 1/3. So you can't go 15 outs if you only go 1 1/3.
Nope, you can't.
And it's really, really hard to get 5 strikeouts if you only go 1 1/3 as well. So cash that ticket on Flaherty very, very early and very easily. And like you said, you got home on your Shohei Ohtani ticket as well.
Finally worked, Matt. Finally worked. About 1 for 3 in fading Dodgers who have dislocated shoulders in major World Series games.
I'm telling you, this is going to be one of those deals too. We're going to find out, like they're going to come out and say like, oh no, his injury is way worse than he was letting on. It's like, yeah, it's going to take all, you know, it's going to take all winter for him to get healthy.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked by that. The way we saw him playing and acting the last couple games, but we'll see.
Didn't look the same for
did
sure.
Not at all.
Like did not look not the same close. For sure. But again, Freddie Freeman just continues to do what he was doing. If you'd listened to this very program, Adam Burke came in and said, hey, even at even money, Freddie Freeman, in what world does he not win the MVP? And of course, a runaway for Freddie Freeman. So hopefully out there, you got in on even money on that.
You know what was weird? We didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, I don't think. But there was, after the Yankees won that one game, you had a drop in his price for at least at DraftKings. It was minus 1,800 for him to win World Series MVP after game 3. Dropped down to minus 900, cut in half. I mean, not a ton of us running out there to lay $9, but still, like, it was pretty shocking to see it get cut in half, especially since he hit a home run in that game.
Yeah, the only world that existed that he didn't win it was if the Yankees came all the way back. So like you're saying, like, I understand not a lot of people have the bankroll to go out and lay, you know, 900. But at the end of the day, if you did not believe the Yankees were going to pull, we never even got to a game 6. We had never even gotten to a game 6.
They'd have to win 3 games in a row. So like, I think it's still a good bet. But it would have been,
So it's like one of those deals where, if you had the money, it probably would have been good to get in on that. Well, you know, here we are. What do you think's going to change? Nothing's going to change. The Dodgers are, in fact, your World Series favorite as we head into the offseason. 4-1.
Yeah, Kelly. 4-1. 4-1. Can you do your Moneyball recap, too? We were just discussing with Dave Ross.
Real quick, I threw out a tweet yesterday. Actually, people loved it and actually loved it for the wrong reasons. They're kind of like, this is ruining baseball, you know, and all the things like that. But I mean, look, it is what it is until he changed and this is the way it's going to go. But all 6 of the teams with the highest payrolls in Major League Baseball made the playoffs. 2 of those teams played in the World Series and 1 of those teams won the World Series. And then 6 of the 7 with the lowest payrolls, not only, as you would imagine, not only didn't make the playoffs, they were under 500 on the course of the season. By the way, hat tip to the Tigers, who not only were over 500, but also did make the playoffs. They were the outlier there in that bottom 7 teams. But the other 6, all of which were the lowest payrolls in baseball, all finished under 500.
Yeah, A's, Pirates, Marlins, Reds, Nationals. Tigers keeping Moneyball alive, though. Clearly,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes, obviously. But it's just, you know, and people are going to lose their minds because Juan Soto is going to hit free agency and someone is going to pay Juan Soto an absurd amount of money. And they're going to go, you can't pay this one guy. You paid Shohei Ohtani $700 million and they go and they win the World Series. He has one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season we've ever seen by a human. And it's worth it. Like in baseball, if you can buy your way to the top, then buy your way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You should, you know, if you're one of these big market teams. And he is certainly going to make things explode when it comes to the
I loved his comments post-game, too. Like, it was just, it was nothing crazy. I don't even know if you're going to see it, how many shows you're going to see him on this morning, but it was just him being real with reporters about talking about free agency when you almost never get that from pro athletes, right? It's like, oh, we're going to take some time, think about this. I got to get with my people. Whatever line you want to come up with, right? And he was basically like, well, we're going to talk to everybody. Yeah. Everybody's open for business.
We're going to talk to everyone. And if you have a whole lot of money and you want to write a whole bunch of
That's
zeros,
right.
We'll talk to you
we'll
too.
Talk to
yeah,
you.
Let's go on. That includes you, teams over in Japan or whatever. Like, we'll talk to everybody. Doesn't matter. I'm here for the money, and as he should be.
Yeah, as he should be. That's what I'm saying. Like, just everybody, we know those are the types of conversations that go on behind closed doors. Don't give us the forced lines after these big games. Like, no, he's been thinking about it. He's been talking about it. Like, there's no problem with that, and go take care of business this summer.
If you are, if you're wondering about the rest of those teams, Yankees 7-1, Braves 7.5-1, Phillies 10-1. Orioles are 11-1, and then the Astros 13-1, Mets 14-1. Padres, who everyone was high and all hot on in the postseason this season, 15-1, Rangers 28, and then the Mariners sitting at 28 as well. Did we leave the Guardians? Guardians are at 28 in there as well. So these are kind of how this is how it's going to look. And Kelly, it's been chalk. If you look, there was a tweet that went out last night talking about the four major sports, and there hasn't been a team outside of the Rangers in the last several years that was longer than 20-1 to win, yeah. You know, preseason. 11 of the 18 or something like that were 10-1 or shorter. It's a lot of chalk. There's a reason there's a lot of chalk, because we evaluate these teams. Oh, this team is better than all the rest of these teams, and that's why we price these teams. And so, and I know it's fun to have. I think there's a lesson maybe even to be learned in all of this, which, yeah, it's certainly fun to have. And if you cashed the Rangers ticket for 50-1, good on you. But, I mean, that just doesn't happen. And so it's maybe we have to start looking at these, like, longer-term futures a little bit differently.
So Drew Dinzik's done a great job on this show of coming on. I feel so bad. He's done a great job. There's a reason he's done a great job. Because he's gotten beaten a lot because of this stuff. And he's brought it up multiple times when he's done his guest spots here about it's just been favorites like crazy in some of these top teams the past couple of years. So, you know, I think when we look at odds like this, usually what we say after every one of these championships, right, it's, hey, you're always going to look to bet on a team whose odds are only going to get shorter through the offseason, right? So you're usually looking at longer odds teams, but I don't know if, you know, over the past 6 months to a year, Matt, I don't know if I can sit here and say the same thing anymore. I would just not bet this until we get close to the season.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one of those things where unless you got some sort of super inside info, or what, you know, sometimes we read the tea leaves. If you you knew where Soto was going to go, or if you knew whatever, and you wanted to kind of get out ahead of that move, because we've seen such reactionary stuff to news that the team will plummet in the futures market as soon as whoever signs Soto.
Yeah, Red Sox are 35-1. You know, let's just say that's going down to what? Exactly. 9-1, 10-1?
So it's just those type of deals. So if you want to try to get out ahead of that, that'd be the only thing. But like I said, man, it's just been a lot of chalk, and there's a reason for it being a lot of chalk. We have Thursday Night Football to discuss and a lot of news in the NFL as well when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is a numbers game here on a Thursday. Just talked a little bit of Thursday Night Football. We'll have some more here later in the show as well. Kelly, I'm going to be on the Texans tonight. I'm going to play the under in this thing. Got a couple player props we'll talk about later.
You got a lot on Thursday Night Football, yeah. Because you bet the under early.
Yeah, bet the under on the opener, which, you know, again, is only a point difference now, but... and all the injuries don't make me jump up and down about it. Hey, you know, it is what it is. Can get out of it.
That's right.
Still doing pretty good. But again, I think it's a pretty good little buy low point here on this Texans team, which I think is better at pretty much every position except the wide receiver position as we sit now.
What are we betting player props on? Well, Texans wide receivers?
Hey, not man,
who's going to pick up the yardage?
So we'll check in on that. But let's see what Zach Cohen has to say about this game. You've seen all of his work over on VSiN.com, and you can get him over on the Twitter machine at Betting on X. Zach, before we get started, Kelly let me know. So I've introduced you and talked about called you Betting on X. Like, I mean, I had no idea it was a play on the change from Twitter to the X platform. I just thought that, like, whatever, you know, like there's some term that the kids these days are using that I didn't know or whatever it was. And then Kelly's like, yeah, he jumped up. Oh,
I mean, Zach,
that makes perfect sense now. I never got the Twitter handle.
I mean, Zach, you did it on the day, right? The day it changed names. Yeah.
I think they changed to X and I changed it that day. I had always been struggling with an underscore in my name. People, you know, we'd write even on the show, it'd be like at just Zico, no underscore Zico. I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. Let me capitalize on this new
move. Oh, man. I was just like, that makes perfect sense. But see, I was like, I thought I was just wasn't in on the joke or something.
No. So, like, this is a man who knows branding right there. That's what it is, Matt Brown. The problem is, I don't really know how he feels about it, like, 2 years later now.
Yeah. Well, you know,
when everybody's like still calling it Twitter.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. It works. I mean, yeah. It works. Now I get it. Now I understand, and my mind will get there with why you were betting on X. Let's talk a little bit about tonight's game, though. Sitting about two. We saw 2.5 pop, actually, here on this one, as low as 1.5 out there in the market as well. We know about the injuries at the wide receiver position for the Texans. We know about the defensive injuries on the Jet side of things. How do you think tonight ends up?
Yeah, I mean, this is a game that I wrote in my column. It definitely is shaping up like a pros versus Joes situation, and I generally do like to side, you know, with the pros in this situation. But I have to be able to justify it by looking at numbers, and I just can't do it. I'm looking at these two teams. I think the Texans are better on both sides of the football. They have the better head coach. They have the better coaching staff in general. And they have a much better quarterback. So I would just be really surprised if Houston doesn't win this game. I took them on the money line. As far as player props go, I heard you guys just talking about that a little bit. I like Joe Mixon to score a touchdown at minus 140. Has scored a touchdown in every game that he has finished this season. The only one he did not score was when he injured his ankle. I just think this is a game that the Texans really control. I just think the Jets are terrible.
Yeah, this is a game we've talked about a lot. It seems to be feeling that way, Zach. I know you've got some Jets fans in your family as well.
I'm a Jets fan. Yeah,
yeah, you're a Jets fan. Yeah. From a Jets fan's perspective, I mean, what do you think the future is the rest of this season? Matt and I've been talking the past couple of days. I'm like, I don't know. We've seen the worst version of this team yet.
Yeah, I can easily see it falling apart. I can also see, you know, an injury to Rodgers or something at some point. I don't think that we've seen the worst. Like, it could easily happen where they, you know, they struggle down the stretch. I know a lot of people are looking at this game as a potential turning point. I just don't see it. I think the Texans are too good.
Before we get to the NBA, which I know Kelly wants to get in earnest with you here, let's do jump over to college football real quick. We have a couple of marquee games. Of course, the biggest game of the week, Ohio State and Penn State. This one is the one everyone's going to be tuning in. The big noon kickoff, if you will. Sitting about 3.5 in favor of Ohio State. 45.5 is the total. Any thoughts on this one?
I have a lead on Ohio State. I would like to get it at -3 or you know, maybe take the money line if it gets low enough. But I just think that their defense is going to be a little bit too much for Penn State. I think that Andy Kotelnicki has done a good job with that Penn State offense. But I just think that the quarterback play has not been good enough for the Nittany Lions. So I definitely think that this is a game that Ohio State should win. I know that the home field advantage is pretty big there, but I don't see them over it.
Zach, yeah, what else did you end up betting this week?
My favorite one is Arkansas +7.5, and I'm also taking the money line in that game. I just don't think that Ole Miss has looked all that good this season. I think that you look at EPA per play and EPA per play allowed, they definitely say that the Rebels are an elite team, but the eye test is really not matching up with that. Ole Miss is struggling to score points. They are moving the ball, but not capitalizing on opportunities in the red zone. I don't think that the offense is good enough to blow out an Arkansas team. I do believe is very good offensively. We saw it last week with Taylor Green throwing for 5 touchdowns, rushing for another. Everything is kind of clicking the Razorbacks on offense right now. And obviously very difficult to win on the road in the SEC against solid teams. And yeah, I just don't think there's that much that separates these two.
Talking to Zach Cohen, you've seen his work over on VSiN.com at Betting on X on the Twitter machine, which actually is the X and which is the X in the Betting on X. So now we've cleared all that up for the listeners and the viewers.
Right. He's not actually betting on events that occur on X.
Yes. So we get
only betting on the WNBA streams that go right to Twitter.
All right, Zach. So let's get over to the NBA, and we're a few games in, so I don't want to overreact or whatever to anything that we have seen, but do you have any early takeaways? Is there anything that has jumped out at you in the infancy of the season here?
Yeah, I think that on the Eastern Conference, where I'm looking is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic are two teams that have impressed me a lot. And I definitely think that people talked about them as top 4 teams in the East before the season. I think that we're seeing them actually in that conversation now. The Cavaliers offensively just looking a lot better under Kenny Atkinson. The ball's moving around more. There's a little more purpose to their offense. Evan Mobley has looked a lot better offensively. It still kind of comes and goes with him, but there's going to be more, 25 point performances out of him where his touch around the basket is shown and his shooting has been there. So I think that the Cavaliers are definitely a threat. And I also think the Orlando Magic are going to threaten those teams at the top of the East just because Franz Wagner is a player that has always been really good on both ends of the floor, but his jumper kind of got away from him last year. That's back this season. Jalen Suggs, I believe, has taken a leap, just a knockdown 3-point shooter now, great defender. And Anthony Black is playing really good minutes for them. A first-round pick a couple of years ago, hasn't given them much, but has been great this season. And obviously, Powell has just been a load to stop in isolation. So I think that team is going to be able to contend in the Eastern Conference very, very soon.
Zach, we got 4 games tonight. Just looking at Lions right now, the Bucks laying 6.5 on the road at the Memphis Grizzlies, who might not have Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, multiple players. And I'm not going to lay 6.5 with Milwaukee because why, Zach?
I just don't trust the Bucks, honestly. Like, I'm taking a player prop in this game. I'm going John Morant over 27.5 points and assists here. Morant has gone over 10 assists in 3 of the 4 games he has played. So I do like him to, you know, rack up assists in this game. But I also think he's going to have to be more aggressive as a scorer. Like you said, there are players out of this lineup. He's only shooting 14.3 shots per game this season. Usually shoots around 20 per game. I think we're going to see him get back up in his, you know, volume. And I do think that they're going to kind of take the training wheels off. His minutes have been down after he missed some time in the preseason. I think they're going to get back up soon. And yeah, I just don't think this is a great matchup. That Bucks defensive backcourt has a lot of trouble at the back.
Zach, we got 3 more games: Rockets and Mavs, Spurs and Jazz, Suns and Clippers. Any other bets in your account tonight?
Yeah, the only one that I have is Jazz Moneyline minus 125, and this is almost as much of a bet on Lauri Markkanen playing as it is on the Jazz. He is listed as questionable with a sore back. You never know what they're going to do with taking them out. Markkanen is a player that, you know, they might look to say he's injured as they look to try to get Cooper Flagg this year, but it's a little early for that. So I think if he can play, he will. And I do think that the Jazz are in a really good spot here with the Spurs playing their 3rd game in 4 nights, also 2nd night of the back-to-back. Also, San Antonio just has not looked good this season. We all expected them to be competitive, but they're outside the top 20 in both adjusted offensive and defensive rating. And Utah is a team that should be a little bit better moving forward than we've seen early in the season.
All right, Zach, what's going on over at VSiN.com? I know we got a couple of betting guides that are coming out or already out, all that. What do we got going on over there?
Yeah, a Breeders' Cup guide released today. I did not work on that. I did edit it, but I do not know much about horse racing, so I did not write for it. But that's about the only guide that I didn't help on. But it is really good stuff. There's going to be hopefully a couple of winners in there, so make sure you check it out. And just a lot of writing on a daily basis. I have some tennis picks up on a day-to-day basis for the rest of the season. And yeah, best bets for everything.
You can find him over on Twitter as well, at BettingOnX, and of course, all the great work over at VSiN.com. Thanks for your time, Zach, and good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Of course, he talks about that Breeders' Cup betting guide, and that's part of kind of a special we're running, Kelly, as well. Now to May the 1st, you can get in at everything that we do for $120 over at VSiN.com. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe, and it is our way of saying, hey, listen, we understand we're moving. We're already halfway done with football. It's sad season for me because I start to do this thing where, like, what do you mean we only got 10 weeks of football left?
It does get
we're
sad.
Moving into, but hey, listen, college basketball is coming up. We have college basketball guide that's also available. And of course, this Breeders' Cup thing, you and I will take this. We will go get the guide, and you and I will come in with some bets tomorrow.
Okay,
for Felica.
Good.
That's what we're going to do.
We'll blow Felica's mind when he comes out.
Yeah, we're going to come like, so what do you think of that last quarter poll? He's like, no, you can't say quarter. That isn't a thing. But I'm like, I'm gonna pretend it.
I like that you started with a semi-logical sentence there, but couldn't even finish it. Yeah,
you know. And what do you think of that last buyer's speed figure?
That's one.
But anyway, VSiN.com/subscribe. $120 everything we do from now until May the 1st. When we come back, let's do some Halloween theme stuff here and talk about the scariest teams of the second half.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game here on a Thursday night football this evening. Going to make all kinds of people mad whenever the Jets lose. Everyone over in New York. I didn't even think about that. After last night?
Yeah, it could be a rough 24 hours. Yeah.
Oh, after last night. Are people, it's typically though Jets and Mets, right? It's not.
I believe you're right.
It's Yankees, Giants, and then Jets, Mets.
Why'd you have to bring this up? I believe you're right. We're about to get 10 tweets, though, correcting us. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't think it's a rule. I think you can vary, but I think it's just typically.
I think naturally you are. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's like typically Jets, Mets, and then Yankees, Giants, if I remember.
There's
correct.
Definitely a match. There is a tendency for each family to root for two of those teams. I couldn't tell you which.
Well, however it might be. You've seen this guy sitting on this very desk next to me, and he has been talking horses with me for over a year now. He is Mike Somich, my co-host on Ready, Set, Bet. That's SamaBomb18 over there on the Twitter machine. Mike, how you doing, man? Are you just absolutely hyped because we are going to have a whole bunch of famous horses running this weekend?
I mean, I'm pretty jacked, Matt. I can't lie. This is like everyone talks about the Kentucky Derby, and that's the general public's Super Bowl in horse racing. The Breeders' Cup is the hardcore's Super Bowl in horse racing. You've got 13 different races over Friday and Saturday, and it's split up into divisions. So 2-year-old boys, 2-year-old girls, turf sprinters, dirt routers, everything you could imagine. The best in the world all converge in one place and decide 13 separate championships, every race over $1 million. You get to see the best of the best in the world, run against the best of the best in the world. What more could you want? So I'm excited here. Del Mar, phenomenal venue as well. I can't wait to kick this thing off tomorrow around 2:45 Pacific.
Are there any of the horses that you have talked to personally that we have any inside information about? Anyone really jacked up and hyped up for this?
I talked to a couple of them,
all right,
Matt. All right. Unfortunately, they were all Japanese horses, and I don't speak Japanese. I just got the wrong line in there.
Unfortunate.
Mike's a better guy than me. I was like, has he heard the same bit as many times as I have?
You have no idea.
All right, Mike. Let's start on Friday because why would we start on Saturday if there's a race on Friday that you like? Is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile here in this one? What are we looking at?
Yeah, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 2-year-old colts going 2 turns, 1/16 over the dirt course at Santa Anita, at Del Mar this year. And these are the horses that everyone's looking forward toward the Kentucky Derby. So last year we saw Fierceness win this race. A horse named Muth ran second. Both were the early favorites for the Kentucky Derby. This year here in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, we've got a really interesting horse on the rail, East Avenue, going to show a bunch of speed, been phenomenal at 2. But the problem for him is Bob Baffert has 2 in here. And kind of like those different, setups where you can say, hey, I'm going to just send one horse like crazy. Baffert loves to do that. He loves to send the longer shot horse. Well, that horse drew the 2 post in Getaway Car. So I think East Avenue gets a ton of pressure from Getaway Car right out of the gate. It sets it up for horses who want to be able to come from off the pace. And the number 5 horse, Jonathan's Way, absolutely jumps out to me. Currently sitting at 9-2 on the board. Jonathan's Way went gate to wire in his second effort, was able to come from off the pace in his first effort. So we know the mental aptitude is there to be able to stalk and pounce. I think he gets a perfect trip today. So like the 5 horse, Jonathan's Way, that's race number 9 on Friday, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Keep an eye on the 10-horse Chancer McPatrick as well. One we've talked about on Ready, Set, Bet before there. I think he's got a big shot in the Juvenile as well.
Sorry, going to be the 7-horse Gaming, ridden by Irad Ortiz and the other Bob Baffert horse. It's going to be Gaming there in that one.
Well, that is the horse that the Getaway Car is going to try and set up. Gaming cannot win if Getaway Car doesn't press East Avenue. So that's one of the main reasons I think you're going to see East Avenue and Getaway Car hook up early in a speed duel.
All right. Okay. See, here's the reason I say this is obviously how can you pass on Gaming considering the industry that we're in? We're picking things by name here. Okay. So the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Now this is heading to Saturday. This is just 5 furlongs, correct?
Correct. Just 5 furlongs on the turf. We actually have a former world record holder as your favorite here.
Whoa.
Cogburn, your 7-5 favorite. Fastest 5.5 furlongs in history of time up at Saratoga this summer. But he faces an aptly named horse. Matt, I know you're going to like this one. AG Bullet. That is the periodic sign for silver. So it's actually Silver Bullet, not AG Bullet, that's going to be running. Very fast horse as well. Going to cause Cogburn a lot of trouble up top. And Europeans haven't done well in the sprint traditionally, but they sent their big boys this year. These are the best European sprinters, not the B team like they've been sending over in the past. I love the 12-horse Brad Sell out of the outside gate, 7-2 on the morning line. This is your best sprinter in Europe. Been an absolutely phenomenal horse, consistently wins, has been in the best races across the globe and doing really good work, getting 7-2 right now. I think Brad Sell upsets Cogburn. Keep an eye on the 1-horse Believing as well. Has run close to Brad Sell multiple times. Believing 12-1 has a better post and a better price. So I like the inside and the outside there. The 12 Brad Sell and the 1-horse Believing.
Sorry, it's going to be Notorious because that name is awesome.
A local favorite. Notorious been running in California for a long time. Horse has a shot, but would need to run the career best there.
I mean, Notorious. That is. If we're talking about names, Notorious?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty. How do you spell that?
Notorious. Exactly how you would.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just with the
just M. Just with an M.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, there it is. That one obviously is winning.
Obviously.
All right, so let's head to the big one. Let's head to the classic. This is 1.25 miles. This is 7 milli in this one, Mike. Some horses that, and again, I'm not, this is where I'll turn the bit off. These are the horses we've heard of before. These are horses, even if you are a casual horse racing fan. You probably bet on some of these horses before. So this field is really the all-star field.
It is. And we've got Fierceness, Forever Young, Sierra Leone. We've got Ushba Tesoro, Derma Sotagate, all horses that prepped or were in the Kentucky Derby. So even the casual fan knows a lot of these horses. The one you probably don't know, your favorite at plus 225, 5-2 on the morning line, City of Troy. And you know what's unique about City of Troy, Matt? Horses never run on the dirt. Yet here we are as the favorite in a $7 million dirt race. This is a three-year-old trained by Aidan O'Brien, the best three-year-old in Europe, hands down, has been dominating older horses in turf races, going a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. Phenomenal horse. But you know what? You never, in horse racing, bet a favorite when they're doing something new. And never running on dirt is definitely qualifying as doing something new here. Fierceness, your second choice, 3-1, was your Derby favorite earlier this year. We know all about him. He runs well. He runs poorly. You never really know what you're going to get. The 3-1 price, not bad if you're a Fierceness fan here. And if he runs back to that Travers effort where he beat Torpedo Anna, got a big shot at winning. But I'm going to go to Forever Young, sitting there 5-1 on fixed odds, 6-1 right now on the morning line. This is one of the Japanese horses that's shipping over for this spot. Forever Young ran in the Derby, ran a very good third, probably would have won that race if Sierra Leone didn't decide to just bang that horse the entire way down the stretch. The other key part for Forever Young's Derby, he was way further back than expected. It was 10 lengths, 15 lengths off the lead. Forever Young got a really rough break in that spot. The smaller field size should allow him to be a little bit closer to the pace this time here, running a second race in the U.S. He had one prep race before that, looked phenomenal over in Japan, chips into Del Mar. He looks like a different horse. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. He looks more built out. You can tell that Forever Young, early in the three-year-old season to late in the three-year-old season, has really been hitting the gym. I think Forever Young runs a big race here. I'll take 6-1 on the morning line on the one horse, Forever Young.
Tell us about any other horse that maybe people hadn't heard of that is pretty short there on the line next.
Yeah, next, an interesting horse. This is one that has been running in marathon races. So mile and a half, mile and 3/16, mile and 3/8. All of these longer distances, and has just been shellacking them, like just absolutely destroying them at this point. So next is one. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight races, all stakes races, all at that mile and a half, mile and three quarters style distance. It was time to take the shot, face the best in the world, going their distance, the mile and a quarter. Going to be very interesting to see what we get from this horse. He's traditionally been close to the pace, but in those mile and a half races, the pace is a lot slower than when it's a mile and a quarter. You also have a horse right to the inside of him in Arthur's Ride, who is going to be an absolute shot out of the gate. What Arthur's Ride does and what Next decides to do with that is going to be a key here. I think Arthur's Ride goes. I think it puts Fierceness in a world of trouble because all of a sudden he's inside of horses catching kickback, which he doesn't love. I think Next does get a good trip on the outside. The big question is going to be whether or not he's good enough. Again, when you're doing something new, it's hard for me to back you when I'm not getting a price that I think is elevated. I think Fairline for Next is around 15-1. Right now we're sitting there at 10-1, so I can't get him on the ticket.
You know what? I'll give you Forever Young. There you go. You've made one right choice here on the.
Look at that! One good decision. That's more than usual. You just slam all my picks.
We got 30 seconds. So what do you like tonight in the Thursday Night Football?
Give me the under, baby. You mentioned the injuries. The injuries to the Jets are in the secondary, but they're in specifically the safety position. You've got a depleted wide receiver room for the Texans. They're going to run the football with Joe Mixon tonight. I like his overs and rushing yards as well. To me, this is just a slow it down game. If you're the Texans, you just want to get out of here with a win on the other side. The Jets have no offensive line. They're not going to play fast anyway. So you're going to get a slow pace from the Jets without an offensive line. You'll have a couple drives stall with those sacks. I think this is a stone cold under 42.5, Matt.
You can find this man with me on Saturdays and Sundays here on the network at SamaBomb18 over on the Twitter machine as well. He is Mike Samich. Mike, good luck on everything. And put on a blazer this week, while you're, you know, put on a blazer this week, you know.
That's a Breeders' Cup shirt, man. Yeah, that's come legit. On. Read that the room, baby.
This is
like the real deal right there.
That legitimizes everything that he was
saying. Yes, you just got to get a crest on anything.
good. Imagine doing 3 hours with this guy.
Good luck on all your picks this weekend, Mike. When we come back, yeah, it's that time. We're going to rank, because everyone else is doing it, let's rank Halloween candy.